These podcasts are a shortened version of the regular worship service. They consist of an opening hymn, the scripture readings, the sermon, the prayers, and a closing hymn. The opening hymn is Jesus Shall Reign. Him as Jesus shall reign. Service continues with the first scripture reading.
The first reading this morning is from Genesis, the 18th chapter. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. So the man turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood still before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
The next scripture reading.
The psalm today is Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
The second scripture reading begins here.
The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the second chapter. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. This is the word of the Lord.
The gospel reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to him, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight, say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing set before him. He will answer him from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and get you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel of our Lord.
Service continues with the sermon entitled The Lord's Prayer.
So recently I've been listening to, not recently, I frequently do this. I listen to Christian radio, and then sometimes I even listen to some things on YouTube about prayer, like nighttime prayers, morning prayers and stuff, and I kind of follow along, and I'm noticing, I don't know, maybe just here recently, but it's probably been all along, that there's some, I see like fraudulent teachings about prayer. There's a modern approach to prayer. This seems to be almost like growing in popularity. What I've listened to has more in common with this candy vending machine than with God. A member of our church, if you see the sturdiness, the original, this is one of the OGs, candy machines. You might have a guess of who brought this to let me use today. And if not, I might share the secret if you give me some pennies to use in the machine. This is a penny machine. That tells you how old it is. I remember 25 cents gave me gumballs. But anyway, so it's going to be helpful as this aids. So in order to get this to work, if you wanted a candy, you could walk over there and you turn the handle. And it doesn't work. It stops. And it's kind of rude that way because I would like to have one of the candies. So actually what you got to do is you got to pause. And meditating deeply, carefully, intentionally reach into your pocket and find just the right coin. And then, with proper posture and approach, carefully submit that coin to the machine. And then, with all due respect and reverence, approach the machine and submit your coin, turning the handle. Oh, it's going around. Oh, did you hear that? The coin dropped, and so did the candy. Life is so good. Then with great gratitude, lift the lid, take out the candy. Ah, it's mine. And enjoy. All right. You can share it with others. And the family that brought the machine also brought a bucket full of the coins. They're very rich. 1 pennies.
And if after the service you'd like to have a coin to get a gumball, they're right there. All right. The gumball prayer vending machine. The sugar's gone like in a second, though. Gotta get rid of this. All right. Now with this in your mind, we're kind of playfully laughing a little bit, but there's a serious note. Christians are being taught. Put your hands together. Close your eyes. Stand with your, when you start that play, you stand with your arms raised to the heavens, or maybe you're kneeling with your hands together and your head bowed, so you have the right posture. Then you sincerely and carefully construct this, compose this prayer. And with your eyes squeezed really tight with faithful anticipation, you send that prayer to God, and the phone call is going to ring and tell you that you've landed the job that you've been really hoping for. You made it. You got the job. Or maybe that this person you've been praying for, again, with great posture and great intentionality, they're going to be healed. Or maybe your addictions are going to evaporate and never be seen again. Or maybe this emotional or personal physical scars are going to disappear. Or the game is going to be won. The test will be passed. Life is going to be good. Prayer vending machines. What happens, though, if the name it and claim it prayer isn't answered? What happens when you do everything right and that prayer vending machine does not produce the answer in your life? Could it be that the teaching is misleading? That it's not of the Lord? That somehow or another that name it, claim it, prayer vending machine kind of teaching about prayer is somehow another evil because it's leading the faithful to question their faith, to have the faithful diminish their hope that God would ever answer a prayer, maybe even create resentment amongst God's people because they come to obvious conclusions. Either God's asleep and he never listens, or God is indifferent to human need. Thanks be to God that the Son of God, While walking with his disciples towards Jerusalem and the cross, he taught them about prayer. Thanks be to God that the disciples remembered this lesson. They remembered this prayer and they wrote it down for us. That the Holy Spirit inspired the remembering and the writing so that you and I, now a couple thousand years later, that we too can see, hear and understand the context and the lesson and the truth surrounding this prayer that he gave us. It is not about a divine prayer vending machine. It's about followers of Jesus witnessing him make time in his life to pray with the one he called Father. It's about the followers of Jesus recognizing something divine in Jesus. It's about the followers of Jesus wanting to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father like Jesus had a relationship. That's the context. You'll notice it's not about a vending machine. Not about name it, claim it, receive it kind of prayers. The followers of Jesus were witnessing the blessedness of God upon Jesus, witnessing the healing power of God through Jesus, and witnessing the good and the love of God displayed in Jesus. After witnessing that, there came a time when one of them said, with great sincerity, a prayer. This follower of Jesus approached the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And Jesus answered his prayer. Jesus taught them about prayer. And a life lesson was given. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name on earth as in heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespass as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. First thing I want you to notice is that this prayer is not about our getting the attention of God. That when we've got God's attention, we can tell God some information that he didn't know. And that in that way, God can now do something that God wasn't going to do before we asked him to do it. Martin Luther said, prayer is not throwing a stone at the door of heaven to get God's attention. Rather, prayer is God finally getting our attention. I'll repeat that last part. Prayer is God getting our attention. In the Lord's Prayer, God wants to get our attention. When he has our attention, God then wants to embrace us in a continuous loop of the Lord's Prayer. Back in the day in programming, we had instructors or professors that were teaching us the software and how to make our own software. And sometimes we made a mistake and we'd make a continuous loop. It means when the computer started running that program, it never ended. It got to what we thought would be an ending, and you had to turn the computer off and have a hard reset, a continuous loop. In electricity, there's another thing about that. So there's ideas of continuous loop. In this prayer, we enter a relationship that has no beginning and no end. The intention of this prayer is a continuous loop. And if you've never thought of this prayer as a continuous loop, consider these things. Loop in the circle piece. Imagine that we're starting, well, if you could look at the lid, it's a circle. But if you start maybe at a clock or something, start maybe around the 5 o'clock position. Maybe you enter that loop around that 5 o'clock position. And you enter that with either something really great going on in your life or something really problematic going on in your life or something you're really hungering for in life. And so you enter an engagement with God seeking. You enter the loop. And there Jesus tells us to have a right relationship with God. You approach him as our Father. In this prayer, we are given an invitation, permission, and a blessing, an insight that we could call out to God as Father. The creator of all that is, of unseen and seen, the things so small that our eyes can't see, the things too far away that our eyes can't conceive. God has created everything seen and unseen, the king, the authority of creation, the one who has knowledge and power like never, we can never understand or comprehend. That God that put all of this together through Jesus says that we can approach him as Father. And with that initial approach, a real and comprehensible relationship can be established, and we enter the loop. And then we start moving up in the loop. We remember how awesome and holy God's name and person is. We consider all these things that he's made and then how his name is associated. Wow, that's amazing. We look at his creation. We look at the beauty of his creation. At night, we can see the stars. If we pause and slow down and look at anything other than what humans have made, it's rather amazing. With wonder and awe, we look at what God has done. We remember how our lives then are to reflect the goodness and love and holiness of the Father who made all this. We honor the divine name of God with godly living, much like we would teach our children to honor the name of their family. When our sons would go out, I would say, guys, remember that you're a Christian, and the world knows that you're a Christian, so bring honor to God's name in your behavior. And if you won't do it for that, in addition to that, bring honor to our name. Because if you deface your name, you deface all of our names. If one of the brothers made a mistake, all the family was affected. And then our church, and then our God. So we're not living to ourselves. And so we honor God's name because we honor him and we honor our families. Our Father. There's a lot of depth to that move in this thing. Hallowed is your name. We remember that we're made in the image and likeness of our Father. and he calls us to respect his name with lives of holiness and righteousness. And we do that on earth as in heaven. And then we progress up this loop a little closer to the top. We consider the kingdom and the will. We consider our Father's house, his way, his truth, his life. We trade our quest to build our kingdom to adopt his. Right? We exchange a vision for what we want in our world to a vision of what God wants in our world. We trade our agenda in this world for the agenda of God. Father, we say in that prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How beautiful that would be if the people of God would just do that. We remember our call and we move up even higher. And now we get to a place of really dependence, of daily bread. Having prayerfully surrendered our grasp for lordship, having prayerfully reached out for God's reign and rule in our lives, now we move to a vulnerable and a dependent trust in God. That we're no longer the adult in charge, that we're the child being cared for and led. Because in that part of the prayer we say, your daily bread, give us this day daily bread. We ask God who created everything as a blessing for us, who gives us life and breath, that God, that we would trust him enough to sustain our day. That we would trust God to provide for all of our life provisions day by day. That we would just surrender our control to our Father, and that we would become children that are just protected, blessed, and loved in the embrace of a Father who absolutely has the capacity to take care of us in this life and for eternity. It's the top. How much, it can't get better than to be a child in the hands of the Father, honoring his name, saying your kingdom come, and submitting and surrendering all trust into his capable hands. The pinnacle. But the loop doesn't stop there. It starts a fall. And it's fast. With all those heavenly-like prayer petitions expressed, we are now in a place to recognize that we fail to live honorably within his kingdom. We fail to bring honor to his name. Just look at how you lived your life this last week, and you will at least see a few examples of how your motives and your behaviors did not bring glory and honor to our Father in heaven who is perfect. If you can, tell me about it, because I can't, and I never have. We fail to accept him as king and lord of our lives. I want to be king. I want to be lord. I want the control. And I'm not alone. I'm surrounded by other people that have I as the center. We fail to give him control of our lives, our wants and our needs. And now we are confronted with the disease of an original sin. We want to be God. You're not good enough was the lie. Did God really say that? And the next thing is, if you eat this, you'll be like God. That's our hunger. We don't want a God. We want to be God. It's the way it is for us. We want our will to be done. We want others to serve our wants and needs. We want to work to establish our will and our authority over everything, even the people the most near and dear to us. We're always manipulating for our wants and our agendas. In prayer, and in the presence of the Heavenly Father, having entered this continuous loop, Jesus and the Holy Spirit there now we're exposed to these things, we begin to see our lives the way God sees us. Looking at our lives and our world, we recognize a corrupted vision. We have calloused and selfish hearts. We lack wisdom, courage, and love, and because of that, we will sin. We knowingly leave the kingdom of God and tread in the sinful territories of the world. That's called trespass. Another way of looking at it is we amass tremendous sin debt, means that we are doing things wrong and we are amassing the consequences of our errors, and that sin is debt, that becomes debt, so we can also say forgive us our debts. Either way, it's true. Forgive us, then we say. You know, after the crucifixion and resurrection, the followers of Jesus, they began to grasp the beauty of this prayer that Jesus taught them to pray. They began to remember the reason why Jesus, why he said he came in the first place. Because he wanted to declare to us that all who would repent, that we would be forgiven. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins is what Jesus came to declare. The Holy Trinity of God have kept their promise, and they will seek and save the lost. They will never stop. They will never grow tired. And they will never run out of strength to do so. Their power and love is greater than my sin. It's greater than your sin, than the world's collective sins. But not only are we forgiven then, we have the blessing and the power to share this gift with the people around us. That we are restored as the children of God so that we can help the other children of God be restored. We're conduits of God's mercy and grace. The loop hits the bottom at that point. It starts its progression back up. Because right after the confession of forgiveness, you approach and you say, Our Father, who art in heaven. With our sin debt paid, we can return our eyes to God. We can humbly and gratefully approach our all-powerful God and Father, and we can ask for his intervention. And so that curve starts to come up, and that's that next part, right? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Those are the requests. So having hit the bottom and we're turning our eyes in forgiveness back to the Lord who saves, we ask for these things. We can ask for God to intervene on our behalf in all situations that would test our obedience or our love, or our integrity, our faithfulness, or our character. We can say, God, help us. I can't do it. I'm going to lean on you to help me be able to do this. Lead me not into temptation. And then a little bit more, we can ask the Father that he would stand between us and all demonic forces and any voice that speaks on behalf of the demonic voices. We would recognize them as the lies and the frauds that they are. If they seek to steal us and corrupt us or kill us or anybody we love, we would say, No, Father, deliver us from them. Deliver us. Which starts to move us right back up towards the top in this loop. Father, holy is your name on earth as it is in heaven. Father, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we do that loop all over again. This prayer is a continuous loop. We're to enter it and never leave. Through this prayer, the followers of Jesus enter into, and this is rather outstanding if you think about it, we enter into the prayers that Jesus prayed. We're entering into his relationship with the Father in his prayers. What a gift. Beautiful, mysterious it is. This prayer, endless loop, it's a prayer that's reflecting the Creator and his intentions for his creation. It's a prayer that reflects our corruption. It's a prayer that displays God's redemption of us, and it is a life-giving, life-directing, life-centering prayer. If you would just enter that loop and live in that loop, how much our lives would be changed in the way of our Lord. What a gift given to the church. What a gift. Now, looking out the windows last night while I was in here, and then again this morning, I wondered, what if people in the world don't know that God, this creator of the universe, wants us to know him and to approach him tenderly as a child to a father? What if they don't know? What if they never come into a blessed and beautiful relationship that this prayer is inviting and instructing? The world I see out the windows desperately needs what the body of Christ, the church, has to give. This gift of the Lord in and through his prayer. You know, the followers of Jesus, that includes you and I, all of us here, actually churches around the world. We've been given this gift of the Lord's Prayer for a couple of reasons. One, so that we can live it, so that we can enter it, and as you enter it and repeat it, that you can start to enter into the mysteries and this relationship of a beautiful relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and Spirit, right? That's the first part. But we're also then from that place to help others enter that as well. So in an effort to bring that to life this coming week, I'm going to ask you to do three things when you leave today. for the next week, between this Sunday and next Sunday, just do three things. Really simple. First one is when you wake up in the morning, before you step away from the bed, just kneel beside your bed, put your elbows on the bed, and say the Lord's Prayer. Say it like every word matters. Listen to what you say. Maybe even let your mind wander with the words, Our Father. How amazing that is. Your mind can drift about all the images, how a beautiful Father can be. Who art in heaven, and where is he at? The glories of heaven. Thy kingdom come. What is God's kingdom? Oh, yes, Lord, you can pray that prayer, and it can just start opening up into volumes of books of a prayer. But before you step away from your bed and start your day, kneel beside your bed and say the Lord's Prayer. And at nighttime, before you go to sleep, not in the bed, on your head on the covers, and you're half, no, kneel at the side of your bed and pray the Lord's Prayer again. So you start your day and you end your day with that. And the third part is going to be a challenge, probably for some Lutherans, because we don't always do this very well. Say that Lord's Prayer with somebody you know, right? I put it to the test last night with my wife. We held our hand and we said the Lord's Prayer together. So wherever you're at, sometime between the time you wake up and the time you go to sleep, grab the hand of somebody at the noon hour, at the lunch hour, whenever it is, at the playground, I don't care where. Take someone that you might not even know very well and say the Lord's Prayer with them. Say, can I pray with you? And in my last 25 years of living, I've only had one person say that didn't want to pray with me. Atheists, agnostics, it didn't matter. They said, okay, I'll give you the courtesy or whatever. I'll entertain you. You can say a prayer for me. I grab them by the hand. I pray. Take someone by the hand this week, every day, and say the Lord's Prayer. That's it. Morning pray, nighttime pray, and at least once during the daytime, pray this prayer and see what kind of miracles God works in the lives around us. God help us be that church. Amen.
The podcast continues with the prayers.
Let us declare our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for all people in their various needs, for the church around the world, and for those near and dear to us. Heavenly Father, we live in a culture of distractions and diversions. Help us to focus our hearts and minds on the things of first importance, the way, the truth, and the life, as revealed by Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, we have found favor in your sight, and you have accomplished all things for our salvation. Hear us on behalf of your church, that those who have been baptized into Christ may live in him and make known your love to the world, that many may be sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah by their faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, you have shown your goodness to the people of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Through the Scripture and your Holy Spirit, you have made known your reason and purpose for our lives, that we would know you and make you known. If it gives you glory, give each of us your wisdom, that we would know the details of how best to accomplish your holy will. Give us courage to pursue your holy will. Give us strength and all necessary resources to complete your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. We ask that you touch the lives of those we know and love who are in need of healing and courage and peace, especially those we list in our prayer request and those we name in our hearts now. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves, and we commend all for whom we pray. We will trust in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we've boldly prayed. Amen.
Podcast concludes with a hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.